one. Technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stroud or Bryce Young going forward?
Stroud.
Prime? You're Stroud or Young guy?
Stroud.
Okay, unanimous. Stroud or J.J. McCarthy?
Stroud.
Yeah, it's an easy Stroud.
Okay, Stroud. Stroud or Drake May?
Stroud.
Stroud. Easy still.
Easy?
Yeah.
I think it is too.
I mean, Drake May had a decent rookie year, but it's not like he set the world on fire.
Drake May, it's more giving more credit to CJ.
I think May's skill set is going to play in the NFL. It's important who they hire matters. Mm-hmm. If they hire Ben Johnson, Drake May stock up. Mm-hmm. If they hire Mike Vrabel, as good a fit as it is, Drake May stock down.
That's the unknown piece of this conversation for everybody. Like, if any of these names we bring up, I think Ben Johnson elevates them.
Like, OC to me, obviously it matters, but if he's gone in a year, this is the conversation we're having with Stroud and Slowick last year. It's like, how much does the OC affect it? You look at, like, Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, how much would Cliff, I don't want to say impair the development, but change the development of Jaden Daniels? I think it would change it a little bit. So I think it's more important, obviously, to have head coach OC. Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud?
Boy.
I think I lean Jaden.
I think I might lean Jaden as well.
Think so?
Yeah.
I think it's Jaden. I think it's Jaden Daniels
over
Stroud.
I don't think it's landslide, but I lean Jaden.
It's a discussion worth having, but his ability to run the football the way he runs the football, too, and what he did, just similar to what CJ did a year ago, it's easy to say that extra dynamic of his legs, too, I'd take Jaden.
And it's not like he was blessed with – Terry McLaurin's a great wide receiver, but he wasn't blessed with more targets than CJ was. I mean, if you say Terry and Nico are equal, Stroud had more after Nico than Jaden did after Terry.
Yeah, I mean, the Commander's second-best receiver was one that – Casario cut.
Right.
So, yeah, I would agree with that. Bo Nix or Stroud?
I'm taking Stroud.
I would, too. It's close.
I think it's close.
I mean, it's...
Credit to Sean Payton that it's close.
Because, sure, and that's why I think it's close, because I think Sean Payton greater signed Bobby Slowick, obviously.
Yeah, that matters, though. Like, you can't dismiss that.
Definitely matters, but I think on skill, I would take Stroud, but I could see Nix outproducing him.
Penix or Stroud?
Stroud.
Stroud.
Yeah, I'd probably lean Stroud there, too. See who else we got here. Purdy or Stroud?
Stroud.
Stroud.
I think it's close.
Yeah,
I think that's close.
Where system matters a lot.
Is it for sure? Because you're right. Because if you put Purdy with the Texans, or right. No, not even flip flop them. Let's put them both in the same system.
Okay.
Like, you put Purdy as the 17 games with the Texans this year. Stroud 17 games with the Texans this year. Give me Stroud.
Yes.
You put Stroud and Purdy both with the Niners for 17 games. Give me Stroud.
Yep.
So I think it's a good counterpoint. Yep. It's a really good argument. There was one other one. Oh yeah, Joe Burrow.
Oh, Burrow easy.
But it's so easy that we say that now.
That's true.
That was not the case at the start of the season.
Absolutely, it was not the case at the start of the season. It was for me, but I mean.
Well, the Burrow did have the limp wrist, which a lot of people were nervous about. It's true. People were nervous about the limp wrist.
No, I think I spent our entire June, July, and May, June, July, and August coming to the defense of Joe Burrow to the point I made myself out to be a Bengals fan. But I get it. There was a lot of doubt on Burrow.
Yeah, he's right about the elbow thing from the standpoint of, too, there were ex-athletes and pitchers and things talking about, obviously it was different from a pitcher, but saying, look, that injury for a positional player is one thing. For a quarterback, and remember even, what was it, the Gatorade bottle or something like that, where he winced when he picked up the Gatorade bottle in preseason or at first week, and they're like, might not be right all year, and now look at the numbers he put.
He was doing those stretches with his limp wrist at the before the game and stuff. I love Joe Burrow. We shared that elevator ride once upon a time. What if Jaden regresses next year, similar to CJ? Will we all have the same conversation about him? Of course we will.
Yeah, we will. That's possible.
It might not be as exhaustive because of where they live and which team they play for, but of course we'll have the conversation of Daniels regresses. We still have the conversation about RG3 regressing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you call it like you see it, and what happens from year to year matters. And so it's obvious to say that as good as Jaden Daniels was this year, is it possible that he could have regression next year like the Texans do? Sure it does. And the schedule's going to matter, and, you know, everybody and his weapons are going to matter, and how they handled their offseason is going to matter. But it's definitely in the realm of possibilities that he steps back too, because he put up massive numbers.
Especially if like Cliff gets a head coaching job, and then it's like the OC isn't as good. Like, I think that would obviously change it too. See, a texter saying that you guys are forgetting to mention Bobby Slowick. Slowick is the constant here. Like, in this conversation of CJ Stroud year one, CJ Stroud year two, Bobby Slowick is a constant. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can't be like, whoa, Stroud stinks because Slowick was bad in year two. Well, he was here in year one.
See, and then that conversation then moves forward to going forward. If you get rid of Bobby Slowick, whether he leaves for a head coaching job or D'Amico decides to move on, if they stay internal, do you believe that Gerard Johnson's going to be better than Bobby Slowick? And do you believe that a new guy coming in, a veteran OC and an offensive mind coming in year one, would he turn it around enough to where you would believe that as an OC, it made CJ better? Because that first year is tough with a new playbook and a new system and all the different things depending on what they run. But I would question if Gerard Johnson would be better than Bobby Slowick. I would hear the argument of saying if you brought in I saw someone say, bring Doug Peterson in as your OC. I'm not sure I want Doug Peterson as my offensive coordinator for today's NFL.
Yeah, yeah. I like Peterson, but you might be right that it's kind of an antiquated thing. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Some text on this. You have to continue to evolve and be imaginative. Slowick didn't either. Also, how much of it was offensive line, though? Like, it's very difficult to play call in the NFL if your offensive line is atrocious.
I think that's the bigger argument. Sorry. I think that the bigger argument is just the same thing. If we're going to defend CJ and say that CJ and his game and the way he was off a little bit is predicated by the offensive line, you still have to give the same benefit of the doubt to Bobby Slowick to say, look, he could have a more creative offensive play calling mind than we even know. He could have wanted to do more, but you're limited in doing what you can do, and sometimes plays blow up because your offensive line played terrible.
Yeah. It all meshes. It all correlates. 713-780-3776. Bryce Young, because I have him on my fantasy dynasty team. Nobody cares about your fantasy team. Love fantasy football. No one cares about your team. It's like your golf game. Nobody cares. I think the only rookie quarterback I would take over CJ's Jaden Daniels, but it's very debatable. See, I don't think it'd be debatable if you weren't a Texans fan. Like, I think if you eliminate fandom and you just ask, like, okay, let's eliminate Commander fans, let's eliminate Texans fans, you just ask the general population of football fan, Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud, I think it's an overwhelming majority that would pick Daniels.
You're probably right. I would agree with that. But I think that the argument that I would have that I would see if you guys watch more Washington games than I did, but I didn't watch him close enough to be able to analyze and say, oh, he's able to make every throw. He does a ton of escapability things. He does a ton with his legs. He has a very, very strong arm. He can do a lot of things right. But in terms of how critical we are because we watch every play of CJ, in terms of making every throw, precisely putting it accurately and layering the ball and doing those things, I haven't watched Daniels close enough. I just know his stats and his wins are impressive.
Yeah, more mobile for sure.
Yep.
He's closer to like Lamar than he is Goff, because he is very mobile and racks up a bunch of yards. I think he broke the rookie record for rushing yards for quarterback, right? Do you think the World Tour with Micah affected CJ's progress? I don't think so. I think it's a bunch of baloney.
I think the only thing, the takeaway there was just maybe he started feeling himself a little bit and having a little bit too much confidence going into year two. But I don't think what they do in their offseason, any of these players that are being criticized because of their podcast, yeah, you might be creating some bulletin board material along the way, but at the same time, let them live their life. I think it comes down to what happens when you're in the building and you're in camp and you're practicing and all those things and when you're on the field.
Where it screws you is if you're bad, and then people can pull all that stuff, you know, like, oh, you're bad, now we got all this stuff that we can use against you. Like, it just puts you in the limelight. That whenever things go sour, it's very easy to like criticize, but I have no problem.
Yeah, I don't either. The linebacker from the Colts is catching a ton for his podcast.
Zaire Alexander.
Yeah, and Micah Parsons and everybody. I mean,
it's more a perception thing because it's not like these guys are podcasting and missing practice, right?
Right.
They're not recording and missing practice. They're doing it during time they wouldn't have been practicing. So
it's just like their hobby. What are they doing off the field? Like some guys play video games, some guys watch TV, some guys go to the club. They're podcasting.
I'd rather he be podcasting than taking the James Harden route.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, that you're absolutely right about that. And you got to love the fact that he, by all accounts, is a football junkie and he's a X's and O's guy and he is, you know, committed to football, that you got to believe that wherever the first person that's going to try and fix, correct, and work on what he did wrong this year or had shortcomings with is CJ Stroud.
Amazing you just mentioned fantasy football, Stroud and Daniels, because I had both of them on my team. I could not ignore Jaden's performance, so I had to start him over Stroud. Stroud was the biggest fantasy quarterback disappointment, bar none. Unfortunately, I don't think CJ has an ounce of athleticism in his body, and you can be a decent quarterback without athleticism. Look at Eli or Peyton Manning.
I think that's an overstatement.
It's an overstatement for sure, but if we're just saying, and look, I don't think that you need to be this great mobile quarterback to be successful in the NFL, see Jared Goff. Stroud probably is average for if you just looked at the athleticism attribute, like it's Madden, he's probably middle of the pack for NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree.
I would say maybe a little bit higher than right at the middle of the pack simply because of his escapability I'm not looking for him to run and outrun defensive linemen and do those kind of things in terms of his athleticism. I do think his escapability this year, his ability to avoid multiple rushers and kind of spin, turn, and free up an off-scripted play to try and execute it is better than more than half of the league.
I don't know, man. Like, I think that the NFL has become so mobile at the quarterback position. Like, he's good enough to do it, but is he better than half the league? Like, Allen? No. Tua?
Yes.
I think it's about even. With him and Tua. Rodgers, I would say yes. Drake May, no. Lamar, no. Russell Wilson?
Now, yes.
I don't know. I think they're about even.
I don't think Russ runs his prime. But
Burrow?
I would take Burrow's escapability.
I don't even think it's close.
You think it's Burrow? Easily.
I think Burrow is the best guy in the league as far as avoiding pressure in the pocket, stepping up, doing the little shoulder dips. Yeah, he is a magician.
I think if you had them run a 40, Burrow wins a 40.
I don't know if I would say that, but escapability in the pocket, I would take Burrow.
I think Burrow wins a race.
Maybe.
I think Stroud's not fast.
Yeah, no, I agree that he's average.
Cleveland, whatever, Deshaun, whoever you want to throw there, maybe better than them. Richardson, no. Trevor Lawrence is more athletic than Stroud.
I would agree.
Would you?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like Stroud's a pure athlete. But I feel like Stroud's a better runner than Lawrence.
Maybe when he chooses to run and stuff like that, but Lawrence is more athletic.
Look at the college numbers. Lawrence, that was a part of his game at Clemson. Stroud never ran Ohio State.
Levis is more athletic, but he didn't know how to run. He didn't know how to play football. Mahomes?
No.
Herbert?
Herbert runs. He's an athlete.
Yeah.
Knicks?
No.
Knicks runs.
Yeah, the Raiders, run last week was unreal.
Raiders stink. Hurts?
No.
Certainly hurts.
Daniels?
No. Daniels.
What about Dak?
Yeah.
I think he's better now. I think Dak early in his career is better, though.
More athletic. He had a catastrophic injury, too. Yeah.
Giants, who cares? They stink. Goff, for sure, he's more athletic than them. Darnold, he's more athletic. Jordan Love.
I was going to say, Love's one to...
That's the one I wanted to ask earlier. Who are you taking to have a franchise around, Love or Stroud?
For me, it's easy. It's CJ.
I would take CJ.
Okay.
Who are you taking?
Can I have CJ with LaFleur?
That would be awesome.
Can I have LaFleur with CJ? Because I would take that.
Combo. By the way, I think that's amazing.
Love is just too turnover prone.
Caleb's more athletic. Baker?
Yeah. Caleb's more athletic. CJ's better quarterback.
Yeah, we're talking about athleticism.
I think.
Athleticism. Baker?
Yeah. No, Baker's better.
Penix?
No, but Stroud. Penix is better.
I think Stroud's more athletic than Penix. Bryce?
Stroud.
I think it's Bryce. Saints with Carr.
Stroud.
Yeah. Carr's not terrible.
He's not a terrible athlete when he was younger.
Stafford?
Stroud.
Geno?
Stroud.
I think it's Stroud. Kyler?
Kyler.
Yeah, Kyler.
Brock?
Purdy runs a little bit. I actually think I'd say Purdy.
No, I would say Purdy for sure.
I think CJ's a better athlete than Purdy.
Somebody texting in, CJ 40 time 4.6, Burrow 4.8. I don't think they ran at the combine, though. Like, I don't know how you know that, Tyler.
Pro days?
I don't know if they did. I don't think they ran it there. Burrow might have. I don't think Stroud ran it his pro day. Richardson or Mahomes beat out Stroud for the biggest fantasy quarterback bust.
Do you have to run if you're a top three quarterback?
No.
No one has to.
Either way, yeah. I'm not saying just at the combine. Even on your pro day, you can just say I'm not running.
Yeah, for sure. Those top quarterbacks usually don't.
That's why I don't think Burrow was going to be number one, hands down. I don't think Burrow ran for anything.
I'm not sure they ran for him to do anything.
No. I'm not sure they ran. Let's not ignore how corny CJ dresses. It's a factor.
Oh, stop it. Have you seen how Burrow dresses? I mean, there's a lot of people that dress funky.
Burrow's GQ. Burrow's VIP.
They just did a feature this last weekend. He sat down with VIP, like
Anna Delvey does.
And Cam Newton sat down. They were analyzing fits that they've worn in the past.
Burrow's got models who clean his house.
Yeah. Okay.
Stroud hangs out with Amber Rose.
Okay. A lot of people put the curse on him for that.
Look, Stroud does not dress great. I'm not one to talk about fashion. I am not an aficionado. I am not GQ. I'm wearing a hoodie today.
Oh, you
Blankers
did.
Is wearing a Rockets pull-up, warm-up jersey. Like, we can't be talking about fashion, it's but CJ dresses a little bit jersey. Funny.
It's a hoodie.
Yeah, but it's got the pants, too. Like,
so
it's a
what?
It's a sweatsuit.
It's a suit. Yeah, it's a jogger.
It's a jogger suit?
Yeah, it's not. This is not like on court stuff.
But if you wear that, can you comment on fashion? I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying
it
that
matches.
You probably
knocking
can't be.
Him a little bit.
It matches, and it all. I don't see why not.
But I'm also knocking myself. Like I don't think that we're the guys to go to talk about
certainly
fashion.
Not.
I'm just saying. Burrow bleached his hair to start the year. Then he
What's
shaved his
with
head
that?
With bleach, and then he even admitted himself that he's gone through phases where he tried to be real outlandish, and now he's dialing it into more suits. He tried the fat. You're right. He went to Fashion Week. He did that backless tuxedo that everybody was talking about.
He understands fashion.
Fashion icon.
I remember you pointing out, and then I went and looked at the video. That one week, CJ had that bomber and those big mom jeans. That was the bad look.
What did we call those back in the day? Like, we remember we were talking about the old stuff that
the
happened like in the
jeans?
80s. No, it wasn't the JNCO one. It was the other one, like the balloon jeans or something. What was it called?
Not the parachute pants. Parachute pants were more like breakdance. They were tighter with
dancing.
Pockets.
Yeah, Stroud dress is funny. Stroud dress is a little funny. Yeah,
he's no Cam or Russell Westbrook.
I'm not hip, though. Like, I can't be the one that says this. I am not. I can't judge fashion. I should never judge fashion. But he dresses kind of funny. All right, 713. I'm kidding, kind of. 713-780-3776. What do you think, by the way, real quick, do you think the Texans' offense was derailed by the Diggs tank injuries?
I think the offensive line, to me, is the I think it's the end-all, be-all. I think that yeah, the injuries, everybody goes through injuries. But to go through how bad this offensive line has consistently played all season long, I blame the line.
Yeah, I do too. I don't blame it on the wide receivers. Like, you still have Nico. You still have one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL. You still have Mixon, who's a good running back. I think that he's had more skill around him in 2024 than 2023.
And Woods hasn't been bad when they called his number. That early in the season, you didn't need to call his number. But, I mean, I'll leave it at that. The offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's been okay. Like, he's been who they need.
They haven't really they haven't leaned on him a lot. But when he's gotten the ball thrown to him, he still catches it. But you think look at what he fit. Look at CJ finished the year with in terms of his receiving core and go
last year.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He had nothing.
Yeah, it was bad. All right, cash him or trash him. What are you cashing or trashing with the Bees? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash them or trash them with the bees. 713-780-3776. What are you cashing? What are you trashing?
You guys are going to love this one.
Jordan Love's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Lance McCullers is not only going to return to the starting rotation
no.
for
Joel,
the Astros
Joel,
this season.
Don't do it.
But he's going to make 10 starts.
Oh.
I like that your New Year's resolution was to do hard drugs.
10.
I'm going to trash it.
Yo, Blank, man.
Trash.
I think he'll return. Mm-hmm. I think he'll return.
10 starts.
I think he's either going to be so bad that he can't be used, or I think he's immediately going to get hurt again.
To make 10 starts, he'd have to return by July.
I mean, he should be ready by
July. I think he's going to be ready first month and a half of the season.
Man. 10 starts.
He was supposed to be back in June.
I mean, look, no more in uniform throwing sessions. He's actually throwing off a mound while he's sending out his social media videos of it. I feel good. And I look at the camera. I mean, you're in January.
You feel
and
good
you're
about
throwing.
It, really?
I feel good.
Do you really feel good about it?
Should we save this audio?
Yeah.
No. Like, I need something bold for cash it or trash it. There it is.
I just, like, I think the math on his timeline checks out for you to be right. I just can't trust Lance McCullers to stay healthy. I don't disagree with anything you said. I just, on principle, I can never back Lance McCullers being healthy until he's done it again, so I'm going to have to trash him.
Trash.
King Todd, the show says Lance is making 20 starts. Here's the other caveat to this, though. Are we certain he'll be in the rotation?
I thought about that, too. I just don't think that he's right for the bullpen. And I know that he's going to put his foot down and say he's not going to do it.
Dana mentioned last year Lance in the bullpen.
That was because of the timeline of season was running out. I think he's a starter or he's nothing.
Yeah, I think he's more nothing. I think he comes back this year. And I would agree with your timeline. I just don't think that he'll make 10 starts. Either he's too bad to make 10 starts or he's unwell to make 10 starts.
Good way to put it.
My cash number, trash him. Goff should stack the deck for Charlie Woods. However you can do it. And I'm not sure how you can do it because it's a little difficult in Goff, but stack the deck for Charlie. Everybody's like, oh, no one watches Goff. Well, no one's gonna unless Charlie Woods is Tiger Woods. He's like his old man. Give him the Goldilocks balls like Aaron Judge had when he was hitting all those dingers. Give him fixed golf clubs that make him hit the ball further and keep him straighter. All of these rules and regulation for equipment stuff that golfers have should not apply to Charlie Woods. Cheat at all cost to make Charlie Woods the best golfer in the world. That's how you'll get viewers, Goff.
I'm going to trash it because I don't think you're going to need
trash.
Watching him play and hitting some of the shots that he hits, especially, and there were some shots when he and Tiger were going up against Longer and his son down the stretch there. He picked up Tiger a couple of times and came up in clutch moments. I think he's got a lot of ability. I'm not sure. I don't believe you're going to have to do that. And I'm not saying he's going to be his dad, but I think unlike like Jordan's kids and a lot of dad, you know, kids fail to be close to what their dads were. I think that Charlie's going to be good on the tour.
But if he's like the 100th player in the world, it's not going to move the needle. He has to be contending for majors. He has to be top 10
I think he can
in
do
the
that.
World.
I think he's going to end up doing that.
Okay, I hope you're right.
I mean, he won a state title for the state of Florida, which is like not playing golf in Wisconsin. And he did it like before his freshman year, I think, or freshman year.
I've heard that he doesn't really stack up with his peers that well.
Okay, we'll see.
Stack the deck. Like, maybe you give him the old college try. If he can do it on his own, great. But the moment you realize that he's not gonna, give him Goldilocks balls. Make his clubs better than everybody else. What else can you do to help a golfer cheat? I don't even know.
You know, you had me at Make Golf WWE. Let's put exploding golf balls for the other competitors.
Why don't you rig the gallery like they did at the Phoenix Open that year? Kick the ball out from the rough. And
Happy Gilmore, whatever you got to do.
Yeah, saw up the opponent's golf clubs a little bit so they break on when they swing. Like, let's completely gimmick this.
Give him a breakfast ball and a mulligan aside. Whatever it takes for Charlie Woods to be a top 10 golfer must happen for golf to survive.
Yeah, I'm 100% for making golf WWE. That would make it far more interesting to me.
All right, what do you got?
My catch to trash it is on a way to me to make the baseball offseason more interesting. I don't know if this will be viewed as out on a ledge or crazy, but I think like when we go into the NFL offseason, when we go into the NBA offseason, we know exactly when the start date is. And in football, I mean, hell, you don't even get to the actual like through the legal tampering period, you already have the biggest contracts already settled before you get to the actual start of free agency. But baseball just drags. And to me, it's because of how long of a period they have. I mean, it starts, I had to look it up because who could tell you when Major League Baseball free agency starts? But you could you could sign players. Well, it starts the day
right
after
the World Series. Yeah.
But you can't, the deals can't become official until 5 days after. Oh. And then pitchers can catch. So today, this last offseason, or the current offseason, that was November 4th. Pitchers and catchers don't report until February 10th, and obviously positional players don't even take that seriously. So you'll have guys like Montgomery and Snell and all these guys waiting sometimes into March to sign. I don't think they should open up free agency until January to condense it, give us a shorter window to increase the time that these signings take over or take place. I think it up the excitement. It would lead to a far better offseason.
January is too long to wait. I would say right after the World.
Why? Football ends in February at the Super Bowl, and they don't open up free agency until the middle of March.
I think that you have way too much time on your hands. I don't care that much. It doesn't bother me.
Would you agree it's the least interesting of the three?
Baseball?
Off-seasons? Yeah.
No. Doesn't it keep it just, hope alive then when so guys are still unsigned that if your team still has openings that you keep thinking, well, there's still guys out there, so there's still a chance we can get better.
It just takes so long.
I see what you're saying. Like, it does feel like it's more
NBA free
extrapolated.
Yeah. It's not condensed.
Day one. big names are signing day one of NBA. Same thing NFL, day one, big names are signing. And hell, by a week and a half in, it's pretty much over. Baseball drags for
Now you don't have anything to do the rest of the offseason. Well, in football, you always have something to do.
Okay, at least make the little that you have more interesting. When it drags out over 3 months, it's just like, it just spreads everything out so far to me, it becomes boring.
That's
like,
interesting. I've never paid a second mind to it. It has never bothered me.
Yeah.
It's never bothered me. It's just been the way baseball is.
Yeah, but that's not a good thing.
I disagree.
You preferred it to be spread out?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Why? Yeah.
I do.
Because for a variety of reasons. I think it like creates drama. Can the Astros sign Anthony Santander? Yeah. If all of these guys signed it right away, then you wouldn't have the drama or the suspense of what possibly could come. And I think it takes away the talking aspect of it, too. Yeah. Oh, like, this left fielder's still out there. Go sign him. Signed it once, you can't.
Yeah, but we're not struggling for content when we get to NFL
there's no
free
deadline.
Agency or NBA free agency.
It keeps hope alive longer for teams that haven't done anything yet. And we knew a couple years ago when the Astros hadn't done anything. We're like, are they going to do anything at all? And then all of a sudden, not that we agreed with what they did, but they did some things. You're like, oh, okay. So it's not like you just crap on your team if in the first 2 weeks or 24 to 48 hours, they don't do anything. To where I just like the fact that there's still hope. Like Jeremy said, there's still hope for a corner outfielder. There's still hope for the Astros to improve even more before they go to spring training.
Yeah, spread it out a little bit. I don't mind that.
I guess I'm thinking of it kind of like a TV product. The TV product is worse if everything is spread out and watered down to me. Like, it takes, like, you can't even talk seriously about most of free agents in baseball in November, because you know if it's a Scott Boras client, he's going to drag that thing out all the way till March.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really talk baseball unless it's the Astros anyways.
Sure.
So, like, I don't know if it's, like, from a radio point of view. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I see your point, though. I respect it, too, Brian. But I'm trashing it.
Trash.
Cash the baseball deal. Do something, Bregman. So the texter's cashing it. Some texter says, have you heard about the Netflix doc about the Astros? I think that's a rumor. I Googled that, actually, texter. I didn't find anything on that. I think it was just a Facebook rumor. Gotta be careful what you find on social media. Baseball all season sucks, as a texter, so I think you have another one on your side. A texter, shocking that Ron Burgundy comes up with a complete dog, bad word, showing favoritism to Charlie Woods. Why wouldn't you show favoritism to Charlie Woods? What do you have against Charlie Woods?
Is he calling you Ron Burgundy?
He did, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Ron Burgundy?
Paulie's got the stash for it.
Cash or trash? Either fire Slowick or let him move on and bring in Peterson as your OC.
See, there's another Peterson one. I'm trashing that.
Yeah, I'll trash.
Trash.
Someone on Twitter predicted today, cash or trash. Alex Bregman returns to the Astros in 2025. Is there
trash.
There's no scenario on that, is there?
Stop blowing our Reggie Jackson segment, Blankers. Brandy T, cash or trash, the Rockets will finish with home court advantage for the playoffs.
Trash.
Trash.
You hate the Rockets.
I don't hate them. I'm realistic about it.
Okay. See, I read this differently than definitely not home court advantage throughout the playoffs. I read this. I don't know how Brandon meant this now. I took it as they're going to have home court advantage in the first round. But you can definitely read it as home court advantage throughout.
Because he says home court advantage. I thought it was going to be that they were going to be a top four seed.
Let's go top four seed. Cash or trash?
Trash.
I'd cash.
I'm cashing that. Yeah. Okay. I'm cashing that for the Rockets. Cash or trash, Longhorns will beat Ohio State by 2 points.
Trash.
Trash.
Because they'll beat them by 3 points.
I think that they can if they had that video referee that they had at TDECU Stadium 2 years ago. I like their chances. I like their chances.
Salty.
The 12th man. Corey, Rockets will make the Western Conference Finals.
Trash.
Yeah, I'll trash that.
Trash.
Rockets sign a top-name veteran. That's a little off-season one.
Yeah,
it's too far out.
And their money's kind of tied up now.
Yeah, I would move on from Fred Van Vliet. I would move on from Fred.
You said that's
Van
a team
Vliet.
Option on yeah. Fred?
Club option.
Yeah, you could opt out and then go long at a lesser deal if you wanted to keep Fred, because he said he wants to stay. But yeah, I don't like that deal at all at 40+.
I'm moving on. I want Min and Jalen to be the backcourt next year.
I'm fine with that.
Unless you can upgrade Jalen. I'm open to that too, but yeah, I want that to be the backcourt next season. All right, that does it for Cash and Attraction. Thanks for playing along. Reggie Jackson, completely out of touch tweet. He's talking about Alex Bregman. He was talking about the Astros. Here was Reggie's tweet. We'll tease this going into the break, and then we'll get all your thoughts on it, and we'll even play the scenario game. Wi-Fi stinks here. Anyways, he said, good luck to the Astros in their attempt to re-sign Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman is an Astro through and through. Okay, that tilts me. I'll tell you why it tilts me. Also, let's play the game. What if he actually was going to be a Houston Astro? What does that mean? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Ime Udoka, the head coach of the Rockets, no Tari Eason tonight. 10th straight game that he'll miss from a leg injury. That's not good.
No.
Not good.
I mean, what's the medical curse of the city of Houston to have to deal with every single team, every single sport, the mystery injury?
I mean, I think it's sports. I don't think it's a Houston specific.
I'm joking. I'm exaggerating. But, I mean, look, you had Tucker with the Astros. You've had Christian Harris with the Texans. And now you got Tari Eason with the Rockets, where you don't know what you don't know. And all you do know is that they keep missing more and more games to make it bothersome.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I feel like it's a sports thing, though, not a Houston. I feel like every team has injuries, you know?
But does every team have the mystery injuries?
I think so.
I don't think that every team has a bone bruise on a shin that turns out to be 3 months, and Christian Harris's pulled calf turns out to be almost the entire year.
I just don't think we look at it close enough, like, regionally. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, I think there's injuries in sports where we don't really know. Like, LeBron was gone for 2 weeks in Germany getting PEDs. I'm kidding. Sarcastic. I'm doing it for engagement. I'm doing it for the clicks. Don't sue me, LeBron. Like, he was gone for 2 weeks. No one knew why.
Well, he basically said to it was he just not mental health reasons, but he needed to step away.
Do you believe that though? Like, I mean, we were told that Kyle Tucker had a bone bruise.
I think that's at least honesty, that he's not hurt. He just needed to step away.
Or he's lying.
I mean, he'd be lying if he said he was injured and then we found out he wasn't hurt.
I mean, we have designations for all these guys. Tari Eason with a leg, Christian Harris with a calf, Kyle Tucker bone bruise, and they told us later that he had a broken bone.
We have a designation of where on the body, but we don't have a designation to where a bone bruise turned into 3 months or a pulled calf muscle turned into 14, 15 weeks.
Yeah, I just think it happens everywhere. I think that it's not specific to Houston. I think it's sports thing.
And then Tari did it the same thing last year and then had to have this unique surgery for whatever was going on with his leg. And now they're saying it's not the same thing, but yet they're not saying what it is, and he's missing 10 games.
He's hurt. Okay. He's hurt.
I'm not denying he's hurt, but what the hell's going on?
I mean, we see guys all the time in sports that are, like, you know, dinged up, and then they'll have surgery in the offseason. Like, it happens in sports, I think.
It's just very rare that it's all in this, all in a calendar year in this city.
I think that's where our impasse is at, is the rareness of it. Okay. I don't think it's that rare. Here are a couple of cash or trashes after the buzzer. Should we allow these? It is my New Year's resolution to be nicer. Should we allow these cashes or trashes after the buzzer?
Sure.
You say that kind of...
Sure, I'm fine with it.
It doesn't sound like you want to, Blinkers.
I don't care.
Cash or trash, Reed Sheppard won't get back. Move back to the main roster this year.
Oh, that's trash.
Yeah, he'll get...
Trash!
He might not get significant minutes.
I like the fact... I've been clamoring to get him in the G League just to get some run so he doesn't get rusty, so that he can work some of the rust off and just start playing regular minutes again. But I think he's definitely coming back up.
Astros will win the AL.
Ooh. I'll trash it right now.
Trash.
What does that mean right now?
Like, if they add another bat in the outfield, I'd feel better.
Yeah, I'm gonna cash it. I'm a homer. I'm just, what am I doing? I'm posturing. I'm posturing with that take.
You trying to do film study like you're Jeremy Branham?
No.
Make everybody think that you know ball.
Ocho says Kawhi Eason. That's a good point. Kawhi, mysterious injuries like his entire career. Texter, it's not only a football or Houston thing. Look at McCaffrey. That's a good point with McCaffrey.
Yeah, but you knew what it was with him, right? It was the calf muscle.
I feel like you're gatekeeping the Houston athletes and not the other.
Maybe because I'm just frustrated with the fact that every sport in this city, we seem to be dealing with this. And it's not just like the right diagnosis, and they tell you what it is, and then they come back at the time they're supposed to come back from.
I don't know if that's a Houston thing or if it's that teams are just less willing to tell you the truth now. Like, it feels like despite, like, things that have been put into place about you have to tell us if he's questionable or whatever, it feels like teams more and more are just telling you nothing or flat out misleading you.
They can just flat out lie because reason why to believe that a pulled calf is supposed to be 15, 16 weeks or a bone bruise is supposed to be 3 months. And God knows.
Who said they were McCaffrey, though? Like, people thought McCaffrey was going to be back by week one.
Yeah.
He was going 1-1 in fantasy football drafts because everybody expected him to be ready.
All of a sudden he had to go to Germany.
But wasn't it a calf and an Achilles? Wasn't it two separate?
It was mysterious.
It was the calf that turned into an Achilles.
Okay. Cash or trash, Branham's New Year resolution will last until March. It might not last till Wednesday at this rate with all you texters.
Yeah, I'm going to trash that.
Yeah.
Trash.
We'll get into the Reggie Jackson thing in a minute. Ian Rappaport. He says the Patriots plan to interview Mike Vrabel for their vacant head coach position on Thursday. Did you see the two coaches they interviewed today?
Yeah. Pep Hamilton and who was the
Byron Leftwich.
Leftwich. Has Leftwich been out of football?
Right? Yes, I know what's happening there.
We know exactly right. I mean, it's the same thing I said the first with just Byron Leftwich. Because like where's he been? Has he been on anybody's staff doing anything for the last year?
They interviewed two minority fired offense coordinators that are out of football. Like, this opens them up, so if they have a good interview with Vrabel tomorrow, they can offer him the position. Like, this is a mockery of the Rooney Rule, quite frankly.
It really is.
It's sad, frankly, but it's you know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you might as well just get rid of it. Like, if you're interviewing Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton, you're really not interviewing anybody that's a legitimate candidate for your job.
There's going to be more oversight from the league office. And I don't know how in the world you do that, but to your point, like Pep Hamilton's not a serious candidate.
It's the worst kept secret that they're going to hire Vrabel and that he's their leading guy.
But you at least talk to credible
people.
But
the fact that you're – well, now the argument for Pep is that he has worked with young quarterbacks in the past when they've come into the league.
What do you think the chances are that Pep Hamilton's getting that job?
Zero.
What do you think the chances are Byron Leftwich getting the job?
Zero.
So what's the point of the Rooney Rule?
No, I understand that. I know exactly why they did it, but you're right. They could have got better candidates.
Yeah, I think either get better candidates and have more. What was the word you used?
Oversight.
It's a great word. It's a really good word. I'm going to add that to my repertoire. Have more oversight, or just get rid of the rule. Just get rid of the rule, because like we see this and we're like, oh, what is Robert Kraft doing? Like it's almost spitting in the face of the spirit of the rule.
Either way, you're going to get the backlash because if you get rid of the rule and then you go right to Vrabel. Going to have every minority candidate and the different groups are going to come out of the woodwork again and say you didn't do it the right way. You're not considering everybody. And then if you do it this way, there's going to be people like that, you know, taking this situation and going, they're just doing it to appease the NFL.
Yeah. Mayo would still have his job if he didn't win Sunday, says Texture. Cash or trash that?
Trash that.
I trash that too. I think they have a very specific candidate in mind, and I think it's one of two people. I think it's 90% Mike Vrabel. I think there's a small chance it's Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson, yeah, because to work with a young, talented quarterback.
I wonder if the Raiders could still Vrabel, though.
I think the Raiders are looking at Deion.
I mean, other than the Brady connection, why would Vrabel go there?
For the Brady connection.
And
would you rather live in Vegas or Foxborough? Sorry, Paul.
That's a fair point.
But I think when you look at like his speech when he was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame and everything, he really likes that area and that organization. I think... And again, we talked about Davis and how quirky he is and everything like that. I think he's enamored with Deion and he's enamored with Shadur. And whether he gets one or both, I think Deion's in the running for the Raiders job.
Where are they drafting, though?
Top five, I think.
I don't think they're in the top three. I've been looking at mock drafts, but I don't look at the team who's drafting them. Raiders have the sixth pick.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're out for sure unless they trade up.
Unless they trade up, which I think is possible. Like, Tennessee's going to Cam Ward more than, like, at least a betting favorite.
Yeah, they said Tennessee is enamored with Cam over Shadur.
So if we just say, okay, Cam at number one, so that puts Travis Hunter, Shadur Sanders at two or three. You have Cleveland drafting two, where I read today that they're in on quarterback.
They're on quarterback.
They're in on quarterback.
I don't see it. I mean, I don't know.
You get a veteran?
Yeah, because, I mean, you're still stuck with the Deshaun Watson contract for, at least two more years? I think it makes more sense to trade it and accumulate assets and build up the rest of the roster until you're ready to actually move forward with a young quarterback.
100% agree with you. That's how I would build the Cleveland Browns. I don't think that's the way they're going to go, though. Mm. I think they're going to try to go 9-8 and make the playoffs.
I saw Schefter say that they were in on quarterback even before Deshaun re-injured his Achilles.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's talk about Mr. October. The last legitimate championship the Yankees won, by the way, was 1978. Reggie Jackson was the straw stirring that drink. What he had to say about Bregman, out of touch. The Astros gave this guy power. Sad. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
One of my acquaintances thinks that Stroud's more athletic than Burrow, so he had me put out a Twitter poll. So if you want to participate in the Twitter poll, you can find me on Twitter at Jeremy Brennan. Injury
Just
report
throw
is
the
out,
crap out there to get clicks.
It's true. Injury report for the Texans. Did not participate. Danico Autry, Jake Hansen, Shaq Mason, John Metchie. Do you need any of those guys?
You don't. I mean,
I think you need Autry. I think you need Autry helps.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, Autry helps a lot.
It'd be nice to have Metchie or Shaq for depth.
Shaq,
I could
yeah.
take the. I could take or leave the other three. Give me Autry. You can have the other three.
Yeah, fair.
Shaq, Metchie, and who?
Autry, Hansen, Shaq, Metchie.
No,
oh,
yeah.
Hansen, I don't need.
Give me one. Which of the one is unlike the other three? Limited participants, Foley, Fatakasi, Christian Harris, Jeff Okuda, D'Angelo Ross. Need Fatakasi, mm-hmm. need Harris for me. I could do without Okuda or Ross.
Agreed.
And then full participants, Will Anderson, Nick Broeker, and then Quentin Tarantino's back. They opened up his 21-day window. They're activating him to the roster, but he was a full participant. So that's not bad. Like, going into the wild card round, it could be far worse.
It was worse last year.
Obviously, you're without Diggs, you're without Tank. Like, those are the ones, but they're IR guys. Yeah, I mean, it could be worse.
I mean, Will and Grenard were both banged up last year going into the postseason, so yeah, it's certainly better than last year.
Will and those weak ankles.
Yep.
Got those weak ankles.
See who's hurt for the Chargers.
Joshua Palmer Foote did not participate. Everybody else is a limited participant. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Sime Fehoko, Zion Johnson, Quentin Johnston, Denzel Perryman, former Texan, Trey Pipkins III, Rayshon Slater, Jasir Taylor. That's a cool name.
Quentin Johnson is, what'd you say?
He's got a thigh. He's limited.
Okay.
The only one that did not participate was Joshua Palmer. So they're pretty.
Yeah, they're good.
Kind of healthy. Like, they're dinged up, but should be good to go.
I was hoping for a lot of Zeke.
Yeah, right.
I was kidding. He lucked out getting that job.
You ain't getting any Zeke.
Nope.
Yeah, they do this all the time, it seems like. All right, so yeah, that's the injury report for the Texans. Reggie Jackson sent out this tweet over the weekend. He tweeted, Mr. October on Twitter, former front office member of the Houston Astros. He said, good luck, Astros, with signing Alex Bregman. He's a very important piece. He's an Astro through and through. He's a baseball player all the way. Jim Crane gave this guy power within the organization. Jim Crane gave Reggie Jackson authority of the front office, some of the authority in the front office, and he doesn't even know what's going on in Major League Baseball. He has no idea that the Astros have traded for Isak, that they've signed Christian Walker, that there's nowhere to play Alex Bregman, and you're sending out this misguided, out-of-touch tweet, and it makes me mad about how the Astros have been run the last 3 years before Dana Brown.
And it was even more troublesome where all the people that were begging him back to the Astros after he tweeted this as their response.
Reggie?
Yeah, there were people responding to it going, we're going to miss you. We need you back. I'm like, wait a minute. Time out. Like, are you not reading this in where we are in the season and realizing that ship has sailed quite a while ago?
The only way that I want Reggie Jackson back is if he plays right field instead of that noodle arm Chaz McCormick. It's the only way I want him back. I don't want him nowhere near the front office. If he's playing right field because Chaz can't throw, I'm here for that. But not in the front office. You kidding me?
Chaz's bat speed might be a little better at this point.
Yeah, but his arm's not. I have more faith in Reggie Jackson throwing out a runner going first to third than I have Chaz McCormick.
That's why it's the beauty of this long offseason for baseball where there's still opportunities to bring in a capable right fielder.
I think Reggie could still run into one or two.
Oh, stop it. In wiffle ball, maybe.
Trash.
Does he have a stronger arm than Chaz McCormick? 713-780-3776. I think he does.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does.
The better competition. Who's got a stronger arm between Jake and Chaz?
Well, that's a real conversation. That's too boring. That's, like, legitimate. Like, this is a fun hypothetical.
That's a tight race.
I mean, they measure it. Like, they always go, like, back and forth. They measure it on
Spotrac.
Or not Spotrac, on Baseball Savant. They do. You're right. They both suck. And you can get away with it, though, in center field. You can't get away with it in right field.
Right.
That's why I want Reggie Jackson to be the starting right fielder for the Houston Astros.
Could Baldy go first or third on either one of them?
Yes. I went back. I searched my Twitter the other day to, like, see if I post anything about Chaz McCormick's arm. And there was a play against the Rangers. Remember Nate Lowe?
Yeah,
that
the first baseman.
He's not fat.
He was the one that talked trash that said that the division was going to run through Arlington.
I always remembered him wearing a turtleneck in the heat of July in Arlington.
He's a little big-boned.
Okay.
He's a big-boned first baseman. He went first to third on Chaz McCormick when he was playing left field.
Left field.
And then some other dude hit a sacrifice fly, and Chaz McCormick tried to throw him out when he had no chance doing it and airmailed the catcher. I think it was Adolis that went like first to second on the play. Or actually went first to third.
Actually throwing it over the catcher.
No, hit the cutoff man. He's a bad thrower and he makes poor decisions. I do not want Chaz McCormick playing right field. It's a pet peeve of mine, as you can tell. I'd rather have Reggie Jackson in right.
And my big pet peeve is I don't want both of them starting in the outfield ever at the same time. I don't want Chaz and Jake in the same starting lineup in the outfield. That's why I'm not demanding, but hopeful as hell that they get another outfield back.
Reggie Jackson. No. Can I sell you on any way that Reggie Jackson?
Maybe Reggie Jackson in the NBA could probably have a better arm than Chaz and give better at bat.
You're having zero fun with me. But hey, let's play the game. Let's play the game. Like, Reggie Jackson out of touch. Alex Bregman's not going to be an Astro. We know that. But let's say we wake up tomorrow and they surprise us and Reggie Jackson's a savant. Reggie Jackson has insider sources. And it actually happens. They actually sign Alex Bregman. What's the play? What do you do?
You want the way out of the box play?
I want whatever.
Paredes is your right fielder.
He's never played outfield in the big leagues once.
But he's got an arm. And if he starts now, you say there's a chance.
I think the play would be, I think you have to move somebody to the left. And I still don't love this because that means Chaz McCormick's in right. Sign Jason Hayward and just let him start over Chaz. Chaz and Myers can battle it out for center. Bregman or Altuve would have to move to left.
And I don't like Altuve.
I think the better decision is Altuve and left. Because I think Bregman's a far better defender. You can hide poor defense better in left field, especially at Minute Maid Park. And Altuve still has a little bit of speed. It's a range that I don't love with him defensively at second. And look, this is obviously a super crazy hypothetical. We don't believe it's going to happen. But let's just say Reggie Jackson's this baseball savant, and he's been talking to Jim Crane, and they keep in touch. I think the move's Altuve to left. Like Biggio back in the day.
I cringe at that just because, like you said, the range is not great.
Where do you want the better defender, second or left?
I want Bregman still at third base. I think Bregman's still your third baseman.
So what do you do? You're putting Isak in right, who's never – well, I guess Altuve's never played the outfield either.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I think Isak looks a little pudgy to me.
I think he's going to have a good year in Minute Maid.
I hope so. I'm moving Altuve to left. Hide him defensively because he does hurt you defensively at second. It's a hard conversation.
The one you don't want to hear is that you just play Yordan in left.
Don't want to hear that. Yeah, because that might be the move. Like Yordan in left, DH Altuve. But I don't want that. I don't want to do that. No. Just move Altuve to left. That way you don't have to worry about his poor defense at second base anymore.
Boy, I don't like that.
Look, and we don't think this is going to happen because we don't think that the Astros are going to sign Bregman.
I mean, they've had some gross left fielders in their day. Darryl Ward. Lance Berkman played center for a while.
The one position that you want to hide a poor defender, left field more than any other.
Yeah, that's for sure.
In the bigs, like in Little League, you just put them in right field because no one hits the ball at the opposite field. But in the big league level, the one position you use to hide a poor defender is in left field. And if those are your nine guys, Jose Altuve, if we're saying that you were on your DH, of those nine guys, Jose Altuve is your worst defender. So hide your worst defender in left.
Will there have ever been a bigger differential between the height of the wall and the height of the player if we put Altuve in first in left field with the Crawford boxes?
There's been some short dudes in left in Fenway. Andrew Benintendi wasn't very tall.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yoshida's not very tall. Masataka Yoshida. He's not very tall.
I'm trying to think of small outfielders, though. I mean, he would definitely take the cake.
Yeah, but I mean, the Green Monster is taller than the Crawford boxes, so that would help the ratio for Fenway. All right, we spent way too much time talking about this silly tweet by Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Do you want Bobby Slowick fired at the end of the year? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.